I wanted to think this morning about this passage, this short passage, The Armour of God, and I'm very grateful to a website called Free Bible Images for providing pictures for us so that we've something to look at. Paul is in prison, writing to his friends in Ephesus this letter, which had a great deal in the letter, in this fairly short letter. Perhaps it's the last time Paul will get to write to the church at Ephesus. He's thinking about the great struggle that is before them there in that pagan town, fledgling church, struggling, a lot of protection needed, using the word there. If you have the Message translation of the passage that we had read for us, the verse 10, the beginning of it, says, in the Message, in a rather modern way of putting it, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. That about wraps it up. Paul is bringing his letter to an end. The young church there that Paul is writing to faces many troubled times, much evil. And my friends, we need to recognise that we as Christians today, living in a very different land, in different culture, we face many threats today. I think sometimes we think, well, we don't need protection, we're all right. We need the protection that the Lord provides, for there is much evil in the world. We've been tragically reminded of the murder of that young girl just a few miles away. Violence, bloodshed, much that is disturbing for us. Robert Louis Stevenson apparently once wrote this. You have to listen to it. You know the Caledonian Railway Station in Edinburgh? One cold morning, I met Satan there. One cold morning, I met Satan there. We don't know what actually happened for Stevenson there, but perhaps we can recognise that experience. Have we recognised that force, felt that force of evil influence that seeks to make us sin, to do things that we shouldn't, that we know we shouldn't, but we do anyway? Paul is trying perhaps to bring round off his letter, and he's trying to think of an illustration there. And then he suddenly realises that that illustration is there in his cell with him. You see, he was chained by the wrist to a Roman soldier. Night and day, the soldier was there to ensure that Paul wouldn't escape. Am I the only one who feels a bit sorry for the soldiers? You can leave if you want to. Paul, I'm sure, would have been witnessing to those soldiers who couldn't get away. They were chained to him. You see, Paul was the kind of man who could get alongside, I think, anyone. Beyond that, he would have spoken to those soldiers who were compelled to listen and be near him. And he writes, as he writes, the soldier's armour suggests a picture to him. And Paul says to us, the Christian too has armour. And bit by bit, part by part, Paul takes on the armour, takes the armour of the Roman soldier and translates it into Christian terms. Ephesians 6, verse 11, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm quoting from the New Living Translation, so it's slightly different to the NIV, only slightly. Verse 11 says, put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Those helmets, etc., that Brenda showed this earlier, helping those in the emergency services, those buildings, to stand firm, to be able to do their job, to do their work. We're told to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. The old version says, all the wiles of the devil. There are so many things in the world today, aren't there, that the devil is trying to get at us. Brenda's talked about her adventures in Ukraine. We're going to pray for her so that she has the protection when she's there. But it happens to us as well, doesn't it? The internet, for example, is a wonderful thing, but it's an evil thing as well. We need protection. We need to stand firm against all those strategies, all those plans that the devil has. Paul says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind. But my friends, we can't do that in our own strength, can we? How many, and I'm not asking you to put your hands up or admit to it, the devil has got his way, has led us into sin. That foe is too fierce, too strong for us. But my friends, God has furnished us with armour for our defence. He's given us the protection that we need, if only we will use it. You go onto a building site and see how many builders take their hat off, leave it off, and then go and clump themselves and say, oh, well, I didn't have one. How often we need to take that armour, that protection that God provides, and put it on. It's no good in the cupboard. So then, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, therefore put on every piece of God's armour, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I mean, that's the aim. The end of the battle, still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armour of God's righteousness. Now, let's see if we can get this to work. Oh, sorry. That was the verse, yes. Now, the belt of truth. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. Clothes in those days and in some parts of the Middle East, etc., now are perhaps long, flowing robes. Once when we were on holiday in Egypt, we bought, is it galabeyas? I can't get into mine, so I decided it could stay in the cupboard and I wouldn't bring it this morning. But, you know, we think of them as long dresses. But if you're going to run, Brenda, do it in your trousers, not with a long skirt, a long flowing robe. Clothing then, long flowing robes, both for men and for women. Beautiful, look nice, comfortable, but rather clumsy when you're on the move. It's easy to get tangled up when you're moving quickly. Difficult to travel and, I imagine, terrible in battle. Let's see our Roman soldier with his belt on. The belt or sash was there to provide, to hold the robes in, and perhaps, dare I say it, hitch up your skirt to stop you from falling. The belt or the sash is mentioned for holding the robes in and mentioned several times in Scripture. The Israelites, remember when they were in Egypt, they were told to be ready for the Passover, ready to move that night. Exodus 12 verse 11 says this, these are the instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry your walking stick in your hand, eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. The old King James Version says, gird your loins. Have your cloak tucked into your belt. Be ready to move when God calls you. The belt to hold it in. Elijah had to gird his loins up when he ran from Ahab in the rain. 1 Kings 18 verse 46. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak in his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Long run. No good trying to do it with your cloak and falling over. You have to hitch it up. Use your belt. Military sash there would have been a mixture of leather and metal to protect part of the lower part of the body. Paul reminds us that we need to wear the belt of truth. How often dishonesty, lying, entangles us. Oh, it was only a little lie. Then it gets worse and worse. We're told to put on the belt of truth. Paul calls for honesty. We need to be honest with God, with others, and with ourselves. No good lying to yourself, is it? But how often do we do it? Put on that belt of truth. Let's have a look at the next bit. The breastplate of righteousness. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armour, the breastplate of God's righteousness. Paul's there in his cell, observing the Roman armour. And a soldier walks by, perhaps. The breastplate is a coat of mail, metal, to protect the body, the neck and the hips. Apparently earlier, protection like that was perhaps leather, a tough skin, but now later, and in the Roman period, mainly leather, metal. The breastplate there to protect the heart. This breastplate. Breastplates are first mentioned in the Bible, worn by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. There's a prophecy about Jesus in Isaiah 59, verse 17. It says this: He put on the righteousness as his body armor, placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, says Paul. Two kinds of righteousness. There's the one that's we might call imputed, the result of our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been that offering for sin, so that we may be made righteous before God. But we need to make that practical. Do the right thing. Do good works. Be righteous, because it's the right thing to do. Put on the breastplate, the body armour of God's righteousness. Now, verse 15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Roman soldiers in their shoes, or we call them sandals, wouldn't we? It's like, well, there's not much protection in that. But what does it signify? Shoes speak of being established. You know, we see so many areas of the world, don't we, where refugees are walking around with nothing on their feet. I remember visiting Gaza some years ago. Kids are running around with nothing on their feet. No protection there. But those who were founded, were grounded, established. Shoes speak of being firm. Shoes speak of being on the move, of progressing. How many of us are going to kick our shoes off when we get home? We're on the move. Another picture. There we are. See, we've got to have them modelling the picture as well. Shoes speak to us of being on the move, of progressing. Preparation for the gospel of peace. we've headed this in our notes, the preparation for the gospel of peace. Put on the peace that comes from God. We need to understand the basics of the gospel. Just like those pictures that Brenda showed us earlier, if you don't put on the protection, you're going to hit your head. You're going to be stabbed. There's going to be something. You're going to be injured. My friends, some have heard me say this before. One of our local ministers preached on a vague passage that nobody'd heard of, and one of their regular attenders said to them after the service, "Oh, I must get up in the loft and get my Bible out. It ain't no good up there." We need to read it. We need to understand the basics of the gospel of peace for many a troubled heart. So we need to be prepared. Prepared to move, not just sit in church, not just to come to church, to outreach, to visit others, to be a church on the move, to be individuals with the peace of God that goes with us. Now, I heard somebody talking earlier about arrows. These are quite useful against arrows. Verse 16. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Above all, the authorized version says, above all, the shield of faith. The word above all can mean overall. This is covering him. We'll see some more pictures in a moment. Covering all areas. There were two kinds of shields. There were smaller ones that were offensive. You could give somebody a good whack with them. These are protection. Protection. The soldier was to go fully armed, fully protected. We need to go out fully armed with the word of God. We need to put our total trust in God. These, as I said, very good against fiery darts or arrows. My friends, learning scripture, hearing what God has to say, helps us, protects us, and gives us protection as we go out. Those darts that come, the pride, the fear, the lust, the anxiety. Faith is there, like a shield, to ward off the armor, the arrows, and protect us. Yes. The helmet of salvation. I was thinking when I read through this again, that as a child, and I think it may have been when I was in the Salvation Army Sunday School, we were given a Christmas present, and it was cardboard armour, which, thinking back, seemed a bit strange at the time, but obviously I didn't connect it with this passage. Shame I hadn't got the armour. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll come to the sword of the Spirit in a moment. But here we're thinking of that helmet. There to protect them, to give them some assurance. And my friends, the gospel gives us an assurance of salvation. We sing sometimes, I know whom I have believed. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour. There to protect you. The great preacher D.L. Moody said he never knew anyone effective in serving Christ who did not have assurance of salvation. If you don't know that you're saved, get that settled today. Come to the Lord. Put your trust in him as a Roman soldier would put his trust for salvation in his helmet. Moving on. Put on the salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There he is with his... Wonder how many of you remember Sunday school days where we This piece of plastic is there to hold Paul's iPad or something. How many of you in Sunday school remember the game sword drill? Yes? Yes? We used to have to hold our Bibles up, closed, not with a finger in the place. And the leader would say, we'd say together, this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we'd then be given a verse and see who could find it first. I hated that. Because I really can never remember which order they come in. But it reminded us. It's something that was there. The word of God, as we were reminded earlier, is the only offensive weapon that we have. It provides protection for us, but it is something that we can use. It's powerful on its own. Our years in the Gideons, Bibles in hotel bedrooms, in schools, in hospitals. God's word speaks to the hearts of men and women in many occasions without our intervention. But it's the one weapon that we have. Remember Jesus there in the desert being tempted by the devil? You can do this. How did Jesus answer? He quoted scripture back. Wish I could do that. We can, if we learn from scripture. How about this morning, making a rededication to reading and learning from the word of God? And our life groups will be starting up again in a week or so's time. We can come together and learn from God's word. Then, I've got some more pictures here. This is how they perhaps came together. And what really struck me here is, isn't this like a church? Not that we want to put up protection around us to prevent people coming in, but if we come together, we can learn together. We can help protect one another. There's another one, I think. Yes. I like that. They call that the tortoise. Yes? They're protecting all the way around. There. Protection. There we are. We'll leave the picture at that one. So, there are many things that threaten us. Many things that the devil seeks to use against us. Perhaps he's been tempting you or getting at you recently. God provides us with the protection, with the armour that we need. You can think of other pictures. This one seems to have occurred to Paul, and we can understand why. It goes on towards the end of the reading to remind us to pray always. Says Keith, looking at the thing. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. The Christian's breath, prayer, is vital. Prayer is pretty vital to you and I. Prayer for a Christian is vital. We need to communicate. If these soldiers are to be effective on the field of battle, they have to be in contact with their commanding officer, with their captain. We need to be in connection with God, our commanding officer. So then, we're told that God provides us with the armour. We're to stand together in his strength against the attack. My friends, as we go out today, perhaps you'll have a read of that passage again. Put on the whole armour of God. Go forth into the battle. Amen.